Podtacular episode 303, UNSC Weaponry, for August 10th, 2012.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I am your host, Duststorm. And today I have two guests with me from the Halo community. We have Danny, aka Slightly Live, from Ford Unto Dawn.
Hello.
Hello. And then we have Minolta 1034 from Ready Up Live.
What up?
Not much, other than the wacky conversation we've had pre-show.
Yeah, it's just like half an hour of us talking beforehand.
Yeah.
About the most random stuff. World's best podcast.
World's best bloopers, although I've been asked to refrain from putting them in there because of someone's lack of self-control using certain words. Danny.
I do not know what you're talking about.
just get the bleep button out for him.
Yeah, bleep, 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 bleep.
You know, for our podcast and Ford Unto Dawn, they actually had to put bleeps in there because, you know, we just get a bit right sometimes and discussing Halo is what happens.
Yeah.
I understand.
We do it every now and then, but I guess we have. Keith's a big offender for it. He doesn't care. Like, he'll drop F-bombs no matter what.
So, basically, if I swear or he swears, you swear, you have to go and then edit it. So, basically, the more times I say f***, the more f*** times you have to f*** edit the f*** show. Is that f*** right?
Shut the
just
front
about,
door.
Just about.
I believe...
is one of those that you have to bleep regardless, and then there's other ones that's based on context.
What about
if it's used in a derogatory manner, then yes.
Like, when is not used in a derogatory manner?
That's kind of the point.
It's walking a fine line.
Right, I mean, so that'll probably be bleeped out right there, so they don't know what you just said, to be honest.
So, no. Oi, bastard.
Bastard's fine.
That's like a real word. Like, it's describing something, you know, that exists.
Yeah.
But I guess, all those words are describing things that exist, so I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
Okay. Just some ground rules, understanding where you're coming from, don't worry.
And I have a whole list of bleeps, just put that right there. Thank you very much. You just made my editing, like, 30 minutes longer. Thanks.
I'm really sorry.
You just really need to tape delay him so you can add in the beeps live. Like the Olympics.
Oh, goodness. Only if that were possible.
Man, it must be nice. Like, over in Britain, you must get, like, real Olympic coverage, right? Like, it's not tape delayed or, like, weird.
It's alive, it's alive.
Yeah, you're so lucky. Like, it's just such a crapshoot over here. It's just, you have no idea, like, when anything's on.
Well, I've heard some people have basically... like proxy their IP to British IP so they can actually get coverage over there. That's not NBC.
Our television services for the Olympics coverage has been outstanding. If you're a sports fan, you like the Olympics, almost 24-hour high def coverage, every single thing has been fantastic. I don't even like fucking sports, but I've been able to pay attention and watch all the major events, and it's awesome.
Yeah, see, I don't even like the Olympics that much, but, like, it's really annoying here because I'm like, oh, I should watch some Olympics. Then I turn it on, and it's just, like, some random interview with someone. It's not actually anything that I can watch. And then,
you know, they cut out some of the opening of the Olympics, so they did in America, because they didn't think some of it was important enough for you Americans to watch. So they actually edited out a portion of the opening ceremony.
It's the freaking Olympics. Why would you edit something out?
Well, because some American interviewer, Seacrest dude or something, was more important than talking.
Seacrest? Oh, that's why. That explains everything.
He is a national treasure in America, that's for sure.
It makes no freaking sense. I don't care for the guy, to be honest. I don't even know how he got his popularity.
Didn't he just do, like, e-television? Like,
I think so. I think he was just, like, a host or an interviewer, and that's where he got to start.
And he's just handsome. He's just a handsome fella.
I guess. If you're into that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing that I find funniest is, like, I haven't noticed it here in Canada as much, but in the States I know there's, like, times when they'd be like, tape delay in events, right? So it'd be like they wouldn't, you wouldn't see it, but then they would like broadcast the outcome. They'd be like, okay, coming up is like the swimming finals with Michael Phelps, and then they would like run a commercial where it says that Michael Phelps won the event you're just about to watch, like totally ruining it for everyone, right? Because it's all tape delayed.
That's interesting.
I saw one where the guy was like, okay, we're going to announce some Olympic stuff, but we haven't aired the things yet, so you probably want to mute your TV, right? And so then what do? They put
up graphics. Then what's the freaking point?
Well, no, the funny thing is that even if you muted your TV, they put up graphics that live.
Yeah.
But so you could read it either way. It's just ridiculous.
Right.
It's like, oh my.
So what is with these weird new sports? Like there's white water canoeing.
Horse dancing?
I like dressage. Yeah,
Like, what is this stuff? I've never heard of any of this new, these new sports that are just randomly popping up.
Before we can take, you're an American, you're uncultured, you haven't got a clue if it's not foosball or basketball.
But
you're probably confused. Don't worry, calm down. Don't worry. There's other sports out there, and you'll get acclimatized to them shortly. Just one at a time. Start, go to Wikipedia, type in the sport. Just slowly breathe and you'll absorb it all. Don't worry. Don't worry.
But white water canoeing?
White water canoeing stuff.
That sounds awesome.
It just sounds so weird.
You know what's weird?
It's like intense, crazy rapids in a canoe.
You know what's weird?
There's like 20 new sports in the Olympics that I don't remember ever being like on the Olympics before these.
Like what? Name 20.
Well, I can't name 20 off the top of my head, but I've heard few. I'm exaggerating. 10.
Name 5.
So there's whitewater canoeing. There was one I saw today at work that I have no idea what it is. It was like choreographed. It's like choreographed, like dancing where they had this ball thing that they were balancing and doing dance routines. I forget what it was called. There are a few other ones that I've seen. I have no idea what they're called, but it's like these new things that are sports out there that it just doesn't make much sense. But anyways, in rant on that, I guess.
According to Wikipedia, there are no new sports this year except for women's boxing.
So have they just like never televised any of these and they haven't mentioned them at all? Because I honestly
not enough into the Olympics. Because, like, it says that it says, at least, I mean, this is Wikipedia. I don't really, I mean, so it could be completely, totally wrong. But all it says is, for the first time, women's boxing is included in the program with 36 athletes competing, but everything else is normal. There are 26 sports, 39 disciplines. And canoeing, there's only sprint and slalom, according to Wikipedia.
Well, there's one called whitewater canoeing now.
You want to know the one Olympic sport that I think is really weird is anything equestrian, because I feel like the horses should be getting the medals and not the riders. Is that weird?
I agree with you.
The horse is doing all the work. It's exactly. Like, and if you listen to the commentary, all they do is talk about the horse. It's like the horse is coming up for the jump. Oh, the horse just barely made it. But then the rider gets all of it. They just have to like hold on. It's like the same as like one of those electric bulls in a barn.
But I mean, how do you know if the horse really cares? having the medals and the prize is a human reaction and interaction. It's not something that a lot of animals exhibit, other than ferrets or cats. But they're weird.
Do ferrets enjoy medals? Is that
ferrets enjoy shiny things? They collect them and hide them in places.
Don't monkeys do that too?
Some do.
We should talk about Halo.
Yeah, we should probably do that. Because we're actually 10 minutes into the show now, and we haven't talked about Halo yet.
Talking about the Olympics.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so, I honestly thought about doing like a Halo kind of Olympics, like setting up some maps or something, but I got lazy.
What would you do? Like,
there'd be like a sniping one, there'd be a driving one, there'd be like
gymnastics?
A jumping, well...
Yeah, trick jumping. You could do trick jumping.
Yeah, you could do trick jumping. I don't know how you do gymnastics, but and then there'd be like a triathlon where like one is like running through a course so fast, and then another one's like driving, and then some other stuff. There's something stuff that you could do, and there's even some crazy Forge stuff that you could do with the Insane Game type to make some really cool events.
Yeah, that would be cool. You should have done that. that I just talked about it.
I'll think about doing that next year.
I think you got to do it when the
Olympics. Yeah, next year's Olympics.
In Halo 4. Or Halo 5.
Halo 7.
Blah.
4 years? That's Halo 5 time.
Yeah. Unless we do it during the Winter Olympics.
The only kind.
They don't count. Why don't they count?
Because no one watches them.
I watch the Winter Olympics. I like them more than the summer, to be
honest.
And they're
races against people who live near deserts and Florida. So I think that's
the younger generation seems to be more involved with...
Right? Like snowboarding and all that kind of stuff is in the Winter Olympics.
Yeah, it's more extreme sport type
and
stuff.
And I mean competitive ice sculpture building. And
there's nothing extreme about snowboarding.
Ice sculpture building?
That's not really a thing. I was joking. Although I wish it was. That'd be a great Olympic event. Competitive ice sculpture building.
What would be the criteria for that?
You would just like, you would get like 20 people would get like a huge block of ice and you would have like 2 hours to turn it into something awesome. And you would just, the judges would judge it just like anything else.
So speaking of medals, do you see the new Halo 4 medals?
Snapshot.
Snapshot.
The no scope medal. I think that's a pretty cool idea. Like, I like the idea of more medals.
I'm not sure about the term snapshot necessarily, but I do like the fact that you can't get a medal for the no scope.
That was the thing that confused me too, because I mean, like, it's such a ubiquitous term, no scope, right? Like everyone knows it. So why
no scope?
No scope, right? Like, why not have a no scope medal? Because like snapshot to me almost seems more like you're pulling the trigger really fast, like, you know, like in SWAT or anything else, when you like come around a corner and just instinctively pull the trigger and blow someone's face off. That seems like a snapshot to me. Whereas like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. I don't really have an opinion either way on a snapshot.
Or something silly. Like a quick scope.
And just,
like, I
have no opinion.
I like the idea of more medals and everything like that, though. I just, the only thing I don't want is I don't want it to go too far. You know what I mean? Like, because there are, and I hate to compare Halo to Call of Duty in some kind of weird way.
While comparing Halo to Call of Duty, that's the first time for anyone ever done that.
Well, people do it
just
a lot.
Just go for it.
And it's irritating. But like the one thing that I do notice with Call of Duty, like or you know, and a lot of other games in the same sort of genre, is that there's a lot of the like. Especially at the start, there's a lot of that, like, almost like pandering to the player. You know what I mean? Like, it's like you just sit there and it's like sitting metal, you know, no movement.
Or like that one achievement from ODST, Be Like Marty.
That's right. But like, yeah, you know what I mean? Like there's always, you know, like there's always something up on the screen. Whenever I play Call of Duty, it seems like I'm always getting like patted on the back and like commendated and like told I'm doing a good job and like, you know, encouraged and all this stuff. Like it's like trying to be really flashy to catch my.
But that works. That attention deficit disorder game design works.
Absolutely. I don't deny that it works. That's why the reasons that Call of Duty is popular. And like again, I want to see Halo like walk that line, because I love medals, don't get me wrong. Like it's really awesome, you know, the feeling of getting a really cool medal or something interesting in the game. I don't want it to be like, I cut out?
Yeah, you cut out there for a second.
Well, I blame the internet.
The internet is to blame for a lot of things.
That I like medals, but I don't like too many medals, like for too many mundane things. Like that's why like I like snapshot or no scope medals, because you're not doing that like all the time. I just don't want medals for like really average stuff, you know, like running spree or something like that, which is a crazy example.
Well, but, I don't think they'd put medals in like that anyways.
Yeah, well, like I said, I just find that like Call of Duty comes very, and the other games can come very close to like awarding you too much and like too much of that attention deficit game design. I don't want to see too much of that in Halo, but I mean, time will tell. Well, at the same time, I mean, medals are pretty small in Halo. They're not as big as they are in other things.
Speaking of medals, what do you guys think about the medal, not just the new medals, but the medal redesigns and the whole new vibe they're going with them? What do you guys think about them?
I definitely like the second design that they have out from the movie that we've seen in the bulletin, which is, if you guys haven't picked up so far, is what we're talking about. I do like these definitely over the blue style that we saw in the first multiplayer videos.
Yeah. Well, I think they're the same medals, really. It's just about how they present them to the player. They weren't ready at that time. Now that they're ready and implemented properly, the same medals look a million times better. Do they not?
They seem more on the lines of being actually in a virtual environment than the other medals were in, like, the other Halo games, which I guess I'm okay with, but I just liked how much color and depth there was to some of the medals in Halo Reach and Halo 3.
But I think they're going with a new color scheme, and yeah. I think it's pretty uniform, but they're still, they have that freedom and variance, you know, going with it, but still, it has, they're still recognizably Halo's thing. Right. You know?
And it definitely feels like they're part of a HUD system. I think that's kind of what they're going for, because the medals from Halo 3, Halo Reach, and that kind of stuff, it's like, yeah, they're just, there were medals. It wasn't something that you'd normally see on something like a heads-up display. It was actually a fully qualified graphic, where these look like they'd actually be something that would be integrated into a actual heads-up display.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I agree. Like, I like the new design, the minimalism and stuff like that, because I think that, I mean, especially with the matchmaking experience with war games, because they're taking it into that whole story space where, like, everything kind of has more of a purpose and it's a more rounded out experience, like, that we know that it's taking Infinity, we know that it's like a virtual reality training simulation, and so because of that, all of the elements kind of have to work with that, which I think they're doing a good job of. And, like, again, I don't really mind. I mean, like, I like the way the medals look, and I think they look cool, but at the same time, I mean, that's such a small aspect of the game. It's not something that, like,
I wouldn't really call it is a small aspect, but it's something that you'll be seeing a lot of every single time you play. So I think it's important that they nail it, and they have. I think it's Halo. You know what I mean? It looks awesome. It fits right in there. It's unobtrusive. They look awesome, and they brought more to the table, which is exactly what you expect of every Halo game.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, like I said, like, I like that they, you know, that they're taking that approach and, like, making everything have a purpose. So, like, even right down to the very small details, they are integrated with what you would expect from, like, a virtual reality setup. And, like, the is something that I like, and I'm interested to see how far they're going to take it. Like, that analog of, like, the fact that, you know, you are in a virtual reality simulation. So, like, you know, it's just what you'll be able to do, like, even with what they've been talking about, like, with Forge and the, like, different gravity and, like, the different trait zones and all that stuff. Like, I really want them to really go full bore on that. Like, I would love it if they came out with, you know, like, really crazy stuff. Like, you know, for, you know, you don't have to have every map like this, but they could, because, again, it's virtual reality, they could do, like, a Tron sort of style map, you know, like, really virtual reality with, like, wireframes and stuff like that. And, like, really take it to its ultimate conclusion, you know?
Oh, that's not happening.
Well, they did say they're bringing grids back. I don't know.
Yeah. Look, I know it's not probably not going to happen, but, like, you know what I mean. You know what I'm getting at?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The whole VR missions from Metal Gear Solid sort of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Virtual reality sort of showcase it as a VR environment sort of thing, but that takes away from something that you get with Halo, that the environments are supposed to be alien and foreign and not virtual.
But so now, since we have the virtual environment, you can get away with it a lot easier.
But the virtual environment isn't there to showcase a virtual environment. The virtual environment is there as an excuse to take you across the fucking galaxy and back and showcase all these alien vistas and all this crap, you know?
It still opens the doors for it, though.
It opens the doors for...
But yeah, like, because, I mean, I'm not talking about, like, every map. Like, obviously, like, the core map and the core matchmaking experience, you know, in, like, your traditional Slayer and everything like that should be just, like, maps as we expect them, you know, the way that they're supposed to look. Like, you can have some interesting tweaks, but I'm saying, like, you know, more on the fringes, right? Like, on the outsides, on the, you know, rift balls and, like, those sort of things that, you know, you could really embrace the fact of the virtual environment, so you can do anything, literally anything.
But the way I see it, if you have a holodeck, right? If you have a holodeck, you're not going to make it look like a holodeck, are you? You know, you're only programming in some awesome shit into it. You're not going to program in, well, I'm in a holodeck here and I will holographically simulate another holodeck. Hey, you know?
No, I know what you're saying. I just like, I mean, I guess what I'm referring to isn't so much about like the fact that like the you could program it to make it look saying that because we know it's a virtual reality simulation, that there's no limit as to what you could do visually or aesthetically with maps, right? Because if they did come out and they gave us a map, or they gave us, you know, in Forge, you went to a map that did look Tron-like, you know, in Halo Reach, you'd be like, what the hell is this? Like, how is it Tron? It doesn't make any sense. But when you're like, okay, I'm in a virtual reality console in the Infinity, anything is possible, literally anything. And that's what I'm just excited about. You know what I mean? Because if they fully embrace that whole anything's possible within the multiplayer environment, it could give rise to some more interesting offshoots and fringes. Like I said, I mean, I'm still 90% of my gameplay is still going to be, you know, Team Slayer, that sort of thing. But, you know, I just like I think a lot of players like to go and experiment and try things out. And so with the virtual reality environment, you can do whatever you want. And I think that's really cool. And I think that, you know, what they could do if they really embraced it would be awesome. You know what I mean? Everything from Halo Chess to Griffball to anything that the community or the designers can imagine is possible to fit within the narrative that they've constructed for war games.
Right.
So, I said a lot of words just now.
Yeah, that was a mouthful. But going on to like Halo-related stuff, something that wasn't very Halo-related, at least from what I thought, in the trailer was the dubstep music. Now, I'm not necessarily against dubstep, and some dubstep I'm okay with, but it's just not very Halo-esque, having the dubstep in there.
So?
I agree.
But no, seriously, so obvious on Halo? It's a trailer? It's the game? Well, yeah, what does it matter if they use classical music? They look at their audience, they say, well, this is popular amongst those youngins these days. Stick some of that shit in there. Okay, fine, why not?
And I'd like to point out that, I don't know if you know this, but it's actually not going to be in the game.
Well, really? Thankfully. Tell me more.
Thankfully. They didn't say it wouldn't be in the game. It said it wouldn't be in the official soundtrack.
If it's not in the soundtrack, it's probably not going to be in the game.
Probably not, but they didn't say it explicitly.
I'm just saying, I was suggesting earlier that it could be like a separate album, a little music idea. You remember how they did Halo Legends and they did the little Halo offshoots, Evolutions and whatnot. They could be doing like a little musical piece, whatever, music inspired by Halo or whatever, and get these big names to come together. Do Halo inspired music.
Yeah.
Halo inspired wub wub.
If whatever it's
what they did with Breaking Benjamin in Halo 2. Right? With Blow Me Away.
Except not crap, yeah.
Hey. That is uncalled for. Blow Me Away was a solid song.
Yeah, sure it was. Yeah. Whenever you take off those nostalgia glasses, then how we gander back at it?
It's not nostalgia. That was that was my first, other than like playing the games, that was how I, you know, my first deeper dive into the Halo universe because of my relationship with Breaking Benjamin.
Well, it's like sometimes you break a leg and then you accidentally find $1 million afterwards. So, yeah, maybe. You know, sometimes breaking a leg's good, so.
It was a popular song, and when it came on in the game with rearrangement of it, I thought it was very good and I enjoyed it very much, and that's all really, I had to say.
I completely blanked it out. It's like it just didn't exist for me and it didn't affect my gameplay experience one bit, thankfully. Except that was like, oh, is that the moment with the crap music? Oh, why? Oh, yeah.
So you don't even remember it, but you remember that it was crap. That's all it is.
Yeah, it's not all the the music's not that memorable. Come on, I don't even want Breaking Badman or whatever you call it.
Breaking Benjamin.
That
was actually the first time I ever heard of him was playing Halo 2.
I still haven't heard of them. That's how impactful they were with me.
They've sold a lot of records, though. That's one thing they've got.
Indeed they have. They have a few other good songs, too.
They've sold a lot
of records. That means deadly poop. Look at the top charts.
It's true.
Look at the top charts. They always sell millions. Like, so what pop tart whores on the top of the charts now? Got her clothes off, singing some diddly songs, being auto-tuned to Alan Back.
See, I mean, I understand artistic or creative standpoint, then obviously like sales don't really mean a lot. But at the same time, it's an incredibly difficult thing to write a very popular pop song, because if it was easy, right? And then we wouldn't have pop songs. Yeah, if it was easy.
Yeah, if it was easy, but it's hard to, at least within pop, it's hard to get popular out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to write a really, like, really catchy pop song, right?
It's not. You put a TV show on, and then there you go, Christmas number one. That simple. TV show, and whoever wins it, they could be as long as they win that TV show, they're going straight to number one. It's that easy. And yeah. As long as you have sob stories, and you get all your little grandmothers to vote in and text message, and that's how
you're talking about, like, American Idol or whatever, which, I mean, is kind of a different animal, because they're singing other people's songs and stuff like that. But, I mean, as much as people, you know, will crap all over, like, Justin Bieber or whoever else, my opinion on it is that, A, it isn't easy to write a number one pop song, because if it was, then, again, everybody would be doing it. And B, at the end, someone came up to you and, you know, was like, hey, would you like to be a teen idol? We're going to pay you like millions and millions of dollars, and you're going to sing to these girls that are, you know, like 14, and they're going to love you and everything like that.
Like Rebecca Black.
Okay, I just want to point out that in discussion about Halo that you've come out saying you like Justin Bieber. Just in a Halo podcast, you've said, stop the conversation. I want everyone to know I love that Pop-Tart man.
Okay. Well, he is Canadian. But I don't love Justin Bieber, because Justin Bieber doesn't write music that's targeted at me. Justin Bieber writes music that's targeted at, you know, 14-year-old girls, which is fine.
Whenever you're editing this podcast, I want just to edit that little bit at the start where it's just him saying, I love Justin Bieber. Just that little bit at the start. And
I'm
then
pretty sure I meant that I love Justin Bieber, except for just now. So you could edit it in there if you really wanted to.
Nah, I'm not going to. I'm not going to go through the extra effort that I'm already having to go through for the bleeps.
Sorry, what?
So
thanks. But the sound. I mean, the dubstep in and of itself was okay. I think it was more geared towards the professional gaming audience, the MLG people.
Yeah, it seemed very targeted. Yeah. Which it's a building. There's like, what, five people, relatively speaking, who reads the building in terms of Halo's overall audience. And that's always the hardcore that read that stuff. So
wait, you're saying I'm one of those five?
Relatively speaking. If 100 people buy Halo, I mean, if you just say 100 people buy Halo, not even one of them would read the bulletin. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, what was the height of, let's say, Halo 3? How many people were online? 500,000? You certainly didn't see that many people in the forums.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know how many unique people are reading the bulletin, though.
But regardless of that, the bulletin is laser-focused to target the hardest of the hardcore. That's us. So that music, that video, that crap was just us. To us. To people like us. Maybe the music doesn't appeal to you, but that's why they had the exact same video, sans music.
Yeah, I really appreciated that you could actually hear the sound. Because that was the thing that really bothered me, because I was like, this is supposed to be a video about guns, but all I can hear is dubstep.
I think they did that on purpose. They put this put in really, really stupid music, and then get people to complain before scrolling down, and then, hey, the gun porn.
So they're just basically trolling? So Waypoint 343 is just trolling people with
pretty
dubstep.
Much.
Yeah, I can see it. Yeah, this is epic troll. Epic troll.
It worked.
That's
a lot
just,
of people are like, oh, this dubstep. Why don't we listen to the reels? Oh, ha, ha.
It's like, oh, sorry, I see.
Yeah. Oh, but that gun porn video, so good. Stick that on with some headphones and just immerse yourself in explosive pornography. It's brilliant.
All right. I guess we know what Slightly Live jerks off to.
I hate guns in real life. Hate guns. I don't want to fire a gun. I want to be near a gun. See, video games. Give them fucking guns, bitch. You know, they're firing them, blowing things up, and shooting them, and the creative ways to shoot them and kill people. Oh, so good. And I ever play the game Black for the original Xbox? That's a gunborn game. I love that audio sort of visual feedback you get from blowing shit up, explosions and stuff. And I love that video just for the immersive. This is what the guns are like. to sit down there, have 4 minutes of Halo 4's guns. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
I thought Bungie did a kick-ass job with Reach and the weaponry and the sound. And a lot of people have commended commended them for anniversary sound effects and whatnot, but Halo 4 stuff sounds really good.
Yeah, Halo 4 stuff sounds the best for sure. I mean, I remember...
I kind of have to disagree.
In Reach... Really?
Yeah.
You like Halo 3 sounds more than Halo Reach?
No, I'm talking about the sounds for these guns.
Oh, you're talking about Halo... You don't like Halo 4 sounds?
What's wrong with those guns? What's wrong with the guns?
They lack volume. They lack oomph. They sound like... like toys.
No, Halo 3's guns sound like Fisher-Price toys.
Yeah, Halo 3's guns are really thin. I think these are fuller. Sure.
There's bass, there's chunk behind them.
I wonder, like, the only thing is with this, I mean, it's show this to us. We don't know what the final mix will be like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
what it's
going
to sound like coming out of our TVs and everything. I mean, I know, like, when I first heard the BR, I thought it sounded totally wussed out, and I was really disappointed. But then, like, you know, later on when you hear it now, it's got a real good oomph to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And whenever you listen to it in the house, it'll sound completely different again, I bet you.
And I know that it's one of those things where you have to basically experience it firsthand to really get a good feel for it. But just listening to them, it didn't seem like there was power behind any of the weapons. They sounded very weak and very much like a toy, especially the machine gun. It sounded like a BB gun.
The saw? Is that what you're talking about?
No. The turret.
The turret.
The very first... clip.
The only guns that I thought that sounded weak at all was the Magnum, and I thought it just kind of sounded like it had a silencer on it. You know what I mean? Like it was more like a silenced pistol sound instead of like a real pistol sound. But even that, I thought had power to it. You know what I mean? I don't know. I really didn't notice.
I mean, visually it had power, but in terms of like audio, it like at least a third of those weapons didn't do jack for me in terms of their audio.
Really? That's crazy, man, because I had the complete opposite experience. I thought, again, with the exception of the Magnum, which sounded a little bit like it had a silencer on it, and it, like, the sound itself I think is cool, just the you were right, like, as far as that goes, it sounds a little less powerful. Everything else I thought sounded fantastic.
I know, I had to find my Twitter convo from last night, but I had some people that were agreeing with me.
Well, you have actual full conversations on Twitter. How is that possible?
Carefully.
You're working within a very small area. Twitter conversations are great because, like, being at random, and I love a good, like, I spent like 2 hours having Twitter conversations with people. Yeah. It's fun.
So the four that I tweeted out that really stuck out to me as not being very good is the Magnum Rocket, Sniper, and Sticky Detonator. Those four really didn't do it for me. And the BR, the AR sounded good. That one sounded fine. The Spartan laser sounded fine. The railgun, oh my gosh.
The railgun sounds great.
The railgun was my favorite sounding weapon out of all of them that they showed.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, just that charge up, like the quick, and then boom.
And then
boom.
It's like, yeah. Holy crap.
Yeah, I can't wait to be blowing up vehicles with that thing. It's going to be exciting. Yeah.
So let's go quickly through the full list of weapons since we haven't done that yet. But so the full list starts with the assault rifle, the battle rifle, the DMR, the Magnum, the shotgun, the saw, which is new, sticky detonator, which is new, the railgun, which is new, Spartan laser, rocket launcher, and the sniper rifle.
I love the redesign of the sniper rifle. I think it looks awesome.
It looks... just like a TV.
Like a TV.
It looks like a wee TV or like that. I'm sniping, but hey, I'm going to watch some news here. Well,
some Olympics coverage.
Yeah. It looks like a wee Johnny Five robot sort of head thing. It's weird.
Definitely has a heavier scope.
I do like the newer version, because the earlier version that was leaked or seen earlier or whatever in the from E3, that looked a bit rough around the edges, and the one they showed in the trailer, it's a lot more acceptable than the one that they showed at E3. I like how they've refined it and polished it a wee bit more, and it looks kinda like a sniper rifle now rather than a disused robot thing from BioShock or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it looks cool. I think the beefed up scope is neat, and the whole thing, like, you know, like it looks beefier, which I like. Like, I like the fact that it looks stronger and tougher and heavier and all that. You know what I mean? Like,
just can I ask, what is the purpose of that weak screen? You stick your eye in the eye hole. What the hell is that screen doing?
I think it would be part of like the digital scope that's attached, because, you know, like all those weapons are supposed to be like attached through their neural implants, so it's basically a wireless sync.
Yeah, that's what I. Yeah. That's like, because I mean, if you think about it,
I forget what that's called. There's a name for it. I forget what it's called though.
The way that like in Halo we use the sniper rifle is so different from how the sniper rifle would be used. And even within the actual Halo universe, right? Like, if you were actually using a sniper rifle, you'd be up on a hill and you'd like have your sniper rifle all set up, and like that little TV, you could probably like glance at it quickly to see down the scope, get your information, your readings on like wind and, you know, all that other stuff that you need for a sniper. And then like when you're ready to shoot, you'd look in the lens and be like, all right, I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? Like running around with a sniper and like no scoping people and stuff like that, that's all Halo, you know? And I think that they're trying to make the weapon work with, you know, they're grounded in real life, right? Which I think makes a lot of sense, because that's, you know, it's kind of the way that it should be.
Yeah.
Because Halo snipers, no scope and at close range, use it like a shotgun. Doesn't mean that the sniper rifle would be designed, right?
I think the sniper rifle in Halo is kind of one of the only ones where you see it used at multiple ranges other than just long range.
Yeah, the people that use it at close range and no scope use it like a shotgun. I mean, mm-hmm. I've always had I'm not a great sniper or anything like that. And I mean, a lot of people, you know, when I say like, oh, I really don't like certain aspects of the sniper, they're like, oh, you just don't know how to use it or whatever. And I don't know. Like, the thing that bothers me is that for me, and I like the fact that they have recoil now, even though like it returns to center, but you still have that recoil where like it's going to take you a second, so you can't just fire off like really fast shots like you used to before. But I still think that when you're zoomed out of the sniper rifle, there shouldn't be a reticle there for you to no scope easily. And I know they could never take it out because no scoping is like such a big thing and all that stuff. But I really don't. I just don't think it should be that easy. I think it should.
And you make a good point, but I think that's just part of how Halo has been built now.
Well, that's the thing is it's so traditional. And like, I'm not gonna lie, man. I mean, I've gotten no scopes with the sniper, and like, it sure does feel great and everything like that. But I know that the guy on the other end of that probably feels a little bit cheated when I like luckily turn around and just nail a guy right in the head.
Yeah, that's true.
It doesn't happen to me all the time, but I know there's a lot of people that have it down to a science, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Frankie says in the little summary that they put with each of the weapons that the sniper rifle for Halo 4 sits between the Halo Reach and the Halo 2 sniper rifle in terms of ease of use. So I actually found Halo 2, like, for some reason, my best sniping I can do with Halo 2 on Halo 2 Vista. And I'm decent at it with Reach. I'm good with it on a good day and bad with it on a bad day. But the fact that it's not like the Halo 3 sniper rifle is at least nice to hear in my book.
Yeah, no. I definitely I think it's nice that they're stating it so it's not going to be too tough but not too easy either.
Uh-huh.
I find that sniping, for me at least, I mean, Halo 2 sniping was definitely easiest. But I find that Reach is very similar to me. I don't know, like, it's not 100% the same, but it's so close that defining those two as separate seems kind of weird to me, almost.
Yeah. So it's close. I'm waiting for PAX until I can get my hands on some of this stuff.
Oh, you're gonna be really?
Yeah, I'm gonna be at PAX.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm assuming you're going.
Oh yeah, totally.
Tag along with Green Skull. Make sure he doesn't get lost.
I hate you guys. Just putting that out there right now.
Oh, I'm super excited, guys. We're gonna be there for like a week. We're going from Tuesday to Tuesday.
Oh dang! I'm
sure that he doesn't. Yeah, we've got a hotel for like the week for like when PAX is actually on. And other than that, we're staying with friends. But
do you have an extra spot?
I can't even remember who we're staying with at this point. There's been like so much talk of different people and stuff like that. And I know I just heard that Eli, Naked Eli, is coming, even though he didn't get a ticket to PAX. And so he's just gonna like come to Seattle and try to get in. which I thought was an excellent plan for him.
Yeah, I bought one off of eBay.
Really? You got one off eBay?
Yeah, I spent quite a bit of money on it, which, I mean, kind of sucks, but I wanted it in, so.
No, it makes sense. Yeah, I went really early. The thing that bothered me was Green Skull applied for a media badge, and we weren't sure if we were going to get one or anything like that. And I was like, oh, if you're going to apply for them, let me know, and we'll do it and stuff like that. And he applied for it without me, and he got one, but I don't have one, which is really annoying. So now we have to go and, like, beg them for a separate one for me because I didn't get applied with him.
They don't, they're not giving them out because I tried emailing them the other day because apparently you don't have to actually meet all the requirements, and I didn't know that.
Well, that's the thing, is like we only meet two of the like six, you know what I mean?
Well,
of like
what all are the they? So all these requirements?
The two that I don't have is you have to have a business license.
Uh-huh.
Which, I mean, for just a community thing, you don't do a business license if you're just running a website. And then you need an official letterhead.
Is that all?
Well, like, you need other things, but those are the two big things that most people don't normally have.
Yeah.
Make you a letter.
So you need like two professional written articles, you need a letterhead, you need a website, you need the business license, and there is one other thing I can't remember. But yeah, so I tried emailing them saying that I didn't know I could do this, and I know it's past closing, but can you give me one? And said, like, nope, it's closed.
Yeah, no, like I said, like, because we're already in, we're hoping that one for B somehow. I don't know how it's all going to work out. Like, really, I'm hoping that, like, if I just, like, hold a camera and I'm just like, yeah, I'm the cameraman, and he has his pass, I'll be able to wander around and stuff like that, so.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm assuming, like, with us being community leaders and all, we'll get some backstage goodies from Jess and all.
Yeah, no, I think she's expecting us.
We should move on. Danny's probably getting jealous.
You have no idea how much I want to reach across the internet right now and strangle you both. Yeah.
So, the rocket launcher. What do you guys think of that blazing white contrail behind the thing? Because I personally don't care for it.
Don't care.
Yeah, it doesn't really bother me at all, to be honest.
If people are dumb enough to need to know where the rocket came from that killed them, then fair enough, give it to them. It's the same thing with a sniper rifle. It's, yeah, whatever. It helps
just,
people out if
the
they
contrail,
need to if they know.
The contrail out there just seems, like, overdone. I don't think it needs to be that
it's contrail,
prominent.
So what? It's just...
It's going to be there for, like, 2 seconds, right?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
But that's the thing with me is like if it was hanging there for a really long time, I was like, that's kind of weird. But it's just like a brighter trail; like it doesn't really
and
bother
me. And think about it as well with Halo's physics and sandbox. You know, there's people out there going to be trying to write their name with the contrails of the rockets, or some kind of creative hilarity with those contrails. There's potential there. Just, you know, just give people the contrails if they want their contrails.
Yeah, I just think it's something that like. Like, I mean, I think about it, and like, when I'm really in my head, and I'm looking at the rocket launcher, I'm like, oh, those contrails, you know, and like, I'm thinking about it, but then I'm playing a game, and it's like, literally 1 second of the game, and I don't even notice it, because I'm like, either I'm firing the rocket, and I killed a guy, and I'm turning away, or I'm getting a rocket shot at my face, and I know I'm going to die, so I don't really care if there's a contrail or not.
But, I mean, I haven't done a side-by-side comparison, but the contrails in the past Halo games have never been that long. I mean, the ones for Halo 4 are extremely long.
Okay, where did the contrails touch you? You can tell us. Like, what's wrong with this contrail?
I don't know. It just feels weird.
It feels weird.
I mean, I know.
Have you fired the rocket yet? Have you?
No.
There you go. It doesn't feel weird. It looks weird now. Out of context, you look in the screenshots and movies.
Yeah, I know.
It looks weird. But when you're playing it, that's what counts. Does it look weird then? Does it get in your way?
I know. I'll find out at PAX.
Will you?
I will find out at PAX.
Hope you don't. There's no rocket launcher in that build. Yeah.
I would hope there's rocket launchers in previous builds.
It's like 60 days to launch during PAX.
Oh, crap, we can't. The rocket launcher. Crap. The contrails ruined the rocket launcher. Take it out. Check it out, emergency check it out, check rebuild. It out.
Got the COD Trail team meeting up every day talking about the COD Trail. Are these trails long enough? Oh, I don't think they're long enough. They could be longer.
I mean, wait, I definitely remember.
Meeting after this podcast.
I remember.
Pontacular hates contrails. Is going to be on whiteboard.
Oh, oh goodness. Man. I do remember, I think Frankie saying something that they're making it easier to figure out where the rockets were coming from. So I guess that's why they're doing it, but it yeah, just I mean, looks weird.
It feels tuned to be more predictable for your opponents, but it still does what it does, what you needed to intend it to do in terms of killing people. So like, I think it's just going to be the rockets. Like, they wouldn't change it so fundamentally. And I really don't think that this contrail thing is going to do anything other than honestly, like Danny said, look cool in screenshots and stuff. I think that's what it's going to be, is instead of, you know, like just like, cause think about like even a screen when you see like a rocket just coming right towards someone, it's just a rocket sitting there. Right. But when it's a rocket with this huge, long white trail, like flying at a guy and he's got like, you know, the light shield, hard light shield up or something like that. I think it's just going to look cool in screenshots. That's like 90% of what it's going to be.
And whenever you get killed on a B2B map, and you're looking at your death cam if you haven't got the instant respawn, and you see a contrail from that rocket is like the entire map long, you know that guy is going to be shouting and hollering how brilliant a kill he just got off you. Yeah.
It's going to make things like, yeah, like that, like videos and stuff too, like shared clips.
Oh, speaking of B2B, can I just say one thing? I am really annoyed at them keeping that stupid DMR in, especially with that bulletin. That bulletin celebrates the one thing that really makes me frustrated with Reach right now. And I know it's going to ruin a significant portion of Halo 4 for me completely. And that's that DMR being so pinpoint accurate long range. And the bulletin reinforces the new DMR being even more deadly, even more accurate. And if any of you guys played on that Blood Gulch 4 remake on Reach, you'll know that that's basically a big giant bowl of death. If you're in the middle of the bowl, you're dead. From anywhere in the map, you get pinged, and it's not fun. Imagine, say, Halo 3's Valhalla, or any of the two Halo 2 big giant open maps with that stupid weapon. It would ruin it. You'd be donging from halfway across the map. No one would ever get out of their bases on Valhalla, for example. It would be just ruinous. And I was hoping that they would learn from that and they would take that out, because that's a BR. The BR is brilliant. The BR is limited in range. It has a very specific function. You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, the BR's back. And the DMR too. It's like, what? And now they're beating their chest going, that big mistake they made in Reach, we're going to make the same f***ing mistake. Whoa, us. That's like, what?
I don't see it as a mistake in Reach.
I totally.
A mistake. You go play Boneyard, that brilliant masterpiece of a map, but you go play that and you don't tell me that's a mistake. Go on. Go play that the Blood Gulch remake, you stand in the middle of that map and get pinged by people with the DMRs from their own base. You tell me that's not a mistake.
Man, I don't know. I really enjoy using the DMR. And I think that, yeah, I mean, it can ding you from long ranges. I mean, they've said that they slowed down the rate of fire, first of all, in Halo 4, right? So it won't fire as fast as it does in Reach, right? But as you said, like making it more accurate and stuff. But at the same time, I mean...
It ruins big open maps. And you cannot present an argument to me that will prove to me that it doesn't ruin big open maps. Things like Valhalla, Blood Gulch, the staple signature multiplayer experiences of the Halo franchise will not be possible in Halo 4 because of that stupid weapon. That's simple as.
A lot of people like the DMR a lot.
Yeah, man. Like, I just disagree. Like, I think that it's definitely changed the way that open maps are played. Absolutely, with the fact that you've got the DMR.
It just makes the game go faster too, which is a nice.
But the thing is, the big open. Can you imagine the DMR in Valhalla? Seriously, put the DMR in Valhalla mentally right now, and just imagine how much of a shit fest that would be. Everyone would be in their base. You go on top of the hill, you'd be dead. You know what I mean? It would ruin.
See the DMR in Valhalla.
I could see it as well. I mean,
you'd sit on the Pelican and ping people across the map, pinpoint accuracy. It would ruin the
thing.
But
people can ping you back.
That's because it hides. You don't get to run across a map anymore. You don't get to run across those open spaces with a little bit of freedom, knowing that an encounter has to happen.
You still get pinged with the BR. You might not take as much damage, but you can still get pinged.
Yeah, you get tickled. You get lightly tickled. You cannot honestly tell me you can sit at the top of the hill in Valhalla and honestly hit anyone with any degree of accuracy whenever they're at the base. That's just baloney.
You can do it.
No, you cannot.
As you could do it with the DMR, but it's definitely doable.
I think you're overestimating the power of the DMR here. Like, I think you're
underestimating how much the DMR has destroyed BTB and Halo. And Reach BTB and Reach is a joke.
You're the first person to say that they don't like the DMR that I've heard. You're the first person and only person I've heard.
Which is in and of itself surprising, because the DMR took out the BR, which is like the most beloved weapon in all of Halo. And so for the fact that everyone accepted the DMR the way that they have is, yeah, like something like you're the first person. Absolutely. I love Big Team Battle in Reach. I have a ton of fun with that. I certainly don't have any DMR.
How do you have fun in big open maps where you get pinged from people hiding and seeking? That's not
the gameplay style. And you've
That's not Halo. Halo has never, you've never high stand. And, like, imagine any of the proper wide open B2B maps in the Halo trilogy. None of them would work or flow in the same way with a DMR.
Well, but I would disagree that, like, I mean, that these things, I mean, sure, there are some maps, like, for instance.
Do you disagree that it changes the flow?
No, I absolutely agree.
It definitely changes the flow, but it's not Halo.
Yeah,
it is not. Halo's not about hide and seek at long distances.
But the thing is, when you're playing Big Team Battle, aren't you usually playing, like, I know, like, every BTB game I have, it's like 70 to 80% vehicle combat, 20 to 30% hand-to-hand weapon combat, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, there'll be a few, like, one or two people out of the 16 that are, like, hiding away with, like, a DMR or more likely a sniper rifle. But everyone else is, you know, like, running around, getting vehicles, getting other power weapons, you know.
But you'll be able to run around with DMRs, right? That's the thing. The DMR forces you into hiding or into a vehicle. It forces you to stay away from the open completely because it's death.
Yeah, well,
That's not fun.
That's the way it is.
You shouldn't be running out in the wide open
anyway.
Imagine Blood Gulch was that. You step outside your base, not in the vehicle, and you're dead. Blood Gulch wouldn't have been remembered fondly at all if that was the case. People would have played that game.
Yeah, but at the same time, I mean, first of all, I mean, that was like 10 years ago, dude. I mean,
I don't care how long ago.
But the game evolves. You don't expect the game to be stagnant and just do the same thing over and over again.
It's universal, and it's not fun, because I'm saying you could take Blood Gulch, you can transport Blood Gulch in any subsequent Halo in the trilogy with a completely different sandbox, and it would play almost exactly the same, despite how the sandbox has evolved, because
Blood Gulch plays extremely different from Halo 1 to Halo 2.
Because of the limited range of the weaponry.
Okay,
it does play differently, but it plays in a sort of linear, sort of projected evolution of where it started out from. In
people
Halo 1,
play 2. A lot more to the edges of Blood Gulch in Halo 2 because of the BR, because the BR had more range, and the DMR is just a natural progression.
Exactly, and in Reach.
So it's Halo. It's a progression.
It's even more extreme. It's like it's
I'm trying to figure this out, though. Hold on. Let me just see. Your ideal experience on a big team battle map involves everyone just running open into the center to just, like, what, have AR fights in the middle of the map?
No. It's the choice to go wherever you want in the map and to have encounters to say wherever you go, you'll have your encounter where you go, not being forced to stay in your map because you just poked your head out and some dude with a DMR, sorry, two or three dudes teaming up with DMRs pinged you instantly from halfway across the map just for poking your head out. You can't
What you're talking about there is you're talking about you are taking on an extremely coordinated, highly skilled team, and your team obviously just doesn't have the ability.
Oh, that's brilliant. Right? So the only time you'll have fun in Halo's BTB when you're playing uncoordinated teams of idiots? Is that the only time I'm allowed to have fun now? When I'm playing against morons? Come on.
No. What I'm saying is that it seems like your experiences with this specific game type are not the same that I'm experiencing. Like, when I go and play Big Team Battle, and maybe it's because I don't play enough of it, because I'm the first to admit that I'm not in Big Team Battle a lot, is that, like, when I go up, it's a free-for-all of everything, you know what I mean? Occasionally, yeah, you'll get that team that'll, like, set up and have the DMRs everywhere and, like, really take control and stuff like that. But I feel like most of the time when I play,
well, see, it's coming from right?
And running and being crazy.
Where I'm coming from, since Halo 3, I had an even split in terms of my focus when it came to Halo's matchmaking, when it comes to smaller teams, the arena sort of team Slayer or whatever, and the BTB experience. It was pretty much even. Because I love BTB, I love the feel of it, and I love the smaller combat of the other playlists. I love that difference. I love the fact that you could jump into BTB and have this completely different experience that was still Halo, and then jump into Team Slayer and have a different Halo experience. And seeing Reach, that went out the window for me. Like, Halo, BTB and Reach just wasn't fun. The vehicles were paper thin. The Banshee was broken. The Warthog was jumping all over the place. I'll agree with you. The vehicles are
weak.
BTB and Reach was just a disaster. I mean, a complete mitigated disaster. There were so many factors that were pretty much stillborn whenever they came out. And no matter what tweaking they could do to it, and they tried their best valiantly, it just didn't work, you know? And for Halo 4, I played smaller matches, didn't bother with BTB, and I wanted to. I kept going back, hoping it was going to be good, and it never matched the highs of Halo 3 and the equal playtime for me that Halo 3 did. And with Halo 4, I want to go back into BTB again. I want to enjoy myself. I want to have... I just don't want to be limited. I don't want to be stuck in a base because I didn't pick the DMR loadout and someone else did pick the DMR loadout and there's two of them and they're pinging me. I mean, I don't want that to be limited, you know what I mean? Because there's so many things with BTB that they have to get right. Vehicles, the whole sandbox interactions, and the maps. You know what I mean? BTB can go wrong so easily. And I'm seeing right now that DMR is a big, big warning sign for me just because of where it's coming from in Reach and how Reach manhandled BTB so much, you know. That's the reason why I'm sitting there just saying I don't want this in Halo 4, because I can point to where in Reach where it's contributed significantly. Like the DMR, I love the DMR as a weapon, and in Reach for the smaller encounters and the smaller maps, you're playing Team Slayer or whatever, that makes sense, particularly with no bloom or whatever.
But I honestly think you're going to see a lot more DMR adopters or BR adopters for Halo 4.
It's just in the BTB, it just doesn't work for me, you know? It's a warning sign right now, and I really don't want to see it.
So are you only having issues with the DMR and BTB?
Yes, that's the thing. I only have a problem with BTB because it destroys...
So it's not necessarily a problem with the DMR, it's a problem with the game type.
No, it's a problem with that specific weapon.
I have not heard anyone else complain about the DMR for any game type whatsoever.
It's tough. I mean, especially like, I think I want to say this is that part of the problem is that the BTB maps, you know, like what you're playing, for instance, are like Blood Gulch and stuff like that. And this is something that I've said for a while. I like Halo remakes or Guardian, and it's a thrill to go out and go on to Blood Gulch and be like, oh yeah, it's all here and stuff like that. But the problem is that those multiplayer maps were 10 plus years ago, like a decade ago.
But
and that those
the, I'm,
maps that
I'm not saying, well, I want it to be this way because I want to play my nostalgia sort of maps. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I want...
No. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying that, like, when you bring those maps up into the current games with...
Well, the reason
I think that there can be good big team battle maps that utilize the DMR that have enough cover, but for instance, you know, but there are maps that the DMR much power to a skilled and coordinated team, which I'll agree with you on that the DMR does do that. But like for instance, Tombstone, right? The Tombstone remake, what's it called?
High Noon.
I can't remember. High Noon. Yeah, hang on. High.
Well, that is disgusting. That map.
Yeah, I mean, exactly, because the problem is that map really only has like two real cover areas, right? The two corners that you can kind of sit in, and with the DMR you can scope all the way across the map and you just end up again sitting in either of those bases, which I find really annoying. But that's not a problem with the DMR, because the DMR works great on like tons of other maps and matches, right?
But
that's a problem with the fact that that's a problem with the fact that you're playing on a map that's 10 years old and doesn't provide adequate cover for the new weapon set in Halo Reach. It's just a map that hasn't evolved.
But it wouldn't
with the rest
be that,
of the Halo
that map wouldn't be that map if you changed any of the elements about it. That's the thing. When it comes to whenever I'm saying something like Valhalla, because when I say Valhalla to me is the the Halo archetype of the perfect BTB map. It's the evolution of Blood Gulch. It's nuanced. It was balanced. It was almost perfect. I'm not saying it was perfect, but it was almost perfect in terms of the right settings. It just shone. It was perfect. It was balanced. Everything worked. It was it summed up the whole Halo 3 design philosophy of compartmentalization perfectly. And Valhalla, where is
map? But like, think about, how did you control Valhalla? You got to the center hill and you had a team of BR guys, and when anyone came close to you, you destroyed them with the BR, right?
Oh, really? Really? You locked down Valhalla with your BR guys, and I will shred you to pieces with a coordinated attack from any of the sides. Or, you know what I mean? Like, there were so many. You could hold that for a few minutes at most, even with a good team. Unless the teams were completely unbalanced. But in terms of two equally balanced teams, you could not hold that hill for more than a few minutes. Because you were always under pressure from all different sides. Never mind someone jumping over the man cannon with a power drainer. Like, you were sitting ducks up there.
Yeah, but the thing, you don't just, like, sit in the center of the hill. Like, you're coordinated around your enemy's base, right? And you use the hill as cover, because the hill is cover. And like,
yeah, that's the thing. You had to fight over the hill. That was the thing. You had these battles where people were fighting for control.
Yeah, you had to fight over the hill. Yeah, exactly.
And then whenever you got the hill, that was only a staging point to then get to their base. You know what I mean? Just because you got the hill doesn't mean diddly squat. That was only half the battle. You know what I mean? That's, like, Valhalla is, in my humble opinion, the perfect Halo map. And where is the Valhalla for Halo 4? You know, I mean, Halo 1, 2, you had Blood Gulch and whatever, and Halo 3, you had Valhalla. Where is the big open green map for Halo 4?
Well, I mean, we haven't, we don't know yet. I could see that, you know, like, you're having problems, but I think that big team can still work. You just have to have maybe a little bit more cover to deal with the upgraded weapons. Because the thing is, the Halo franchise is evolving. Like, think about this
cover. Yeah, no, I'm saying I agree with you completely. You're going to need more cover. But the problem is, if you have more cover, then it's not a big green open map in a valley, you know? It's not a Halo map.
And you're right, like, maybe that is a little bit different from the big team of the past, but maybe, I mean, at this point, it's time for big team to evolve, right?
Because those 10 years of brilliant maps just weren't fun? Like, why?
No, it's not that they weren't fun, but at the same time, I mean, you can't do the same thing over and over, just like Dustin. And like, the thing is, there's always going to be things that affect that, though. Like, think about this.
You can't say that the two bases in the valley is being done. It's been there, done that. There's no need. Look at the difference between Blood Gulch and Valhalla, the evolution. Why can I not just take that, evolve it into the next stage, present that just, you know what I mean?
I'm going to interrupt you and say, wrap it up, because we need to move on. We've been talking about this for like 15 minutes.
All I wanted to say was, like,
sorry, teacher. Sorry.
It's good. But just saying, we need to move on.
In the Halo universe, like, the jetpack changed how they had to design maps, right? Like,
Start being a jetpack. Seriously, soon you're talking with jet. Stop right there, because I will bollock on for half an hour on just that stupid jetpack. Please, please don't bring it up.
You know,
his sake alone, because he wants us to shut up, so he does. And I'll go on.
we will come back and do another show with Slightly Live about his armament thoughts. But getting through the rest of them here,
yeah.
DMR we just kind of talked about. It's on there. Mid to long range. Frank even's adding here purpose specific mini snipe conditions. So, yeah, more of kind of what Danny was talking about. BR is back, of course, the three-shot burst, medium, short-range rifle that you want to use. We also have the assault rifle, which, out of the three base or the primary weapons that you can choose, the assault rifle sounds the most realistic and beefy one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I was surprised when Frankie said that it was less powerful than previous incarnations.
It sounds powerful.
It sounds awesome. Yeah, exactly. And I've always been a guy who loves the AR.
Wait. Did they say it was less powerful? Because I thought they said they beefed it up a little bit. It's slightly more powerful and slightly more accurate now, according to that bulletin.
Frankie says it currently might feel underpowered compared to some prior incarnations, especially in the context of newer guns.
A feel doesn't mean it is.
Yeah,
feel
well, that's...
Is.
That's, Yeah, that's the thing is I don't like it. It might not but feel is feel, right? Like that's what we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. Like it, you know, it
well, I mean, sounds really whatever powerful. Aspect of the weapon you want to talk about, but yeah, feel is one of them.
Well, it's more accurate now. It's slightly longer distances. That's I don't know. I don't know about that. Is there? I don't know. But with the introduction of the new weapon, the saw.
But Frank said with the saw, he said his first mistake was to treat it like a mega powerful AR, but it's not. He said that. So basically, it is
an LMG. It's a light machine gun.
Yeah. It's a Tommy gun.
It's what the saw is. Yeah.
I'm excited.
I think they even say light machine gun in here somewhere.
Yeah, it says a designation M739 light machine gun. Yeah. That's what it is.
So basically, it just blows its load very quickly.
Mm-hmm. It's a 72 round clip, and I believe it goes off in like 5 seconds.
That's super fast. But I mean, they said that it's good for.
I don't like the sound of that. Don't like the sound of that because that to me spells warthog death. I don't want to be blown out of a warthog by that evil sounding gun at all.
I don't know. It doesn't seem like a gun that would be very effective against vehicles.
Imagine you're trying to splatter someone and they jump out of the way and then open that shit on you.
It fires quick so that if you can keep it on your target for long enough, you'll be able to kill them fast. But really what it's going to do is, like they said, with suppressive fire, it's going to be like, we need to get somewheres. You know, you pop out with the saw and do kind of a spray and pray so everyone ducks down because they know that you'll probably blow your...
That'll work for one match, and in the second match, someone jumps out of a corner with a saw going, okay, go now, guys, I'll cover you with this saw. Everyone's going to be sitting there going, okay, we'll just wait for the guys to walk behind him. That suppressive fire shit doesn't work.
Yeah, well, people are a little...
That works in movies, it doesn't work in games. People are like, not that stupid.
it works to some degree.
It depends on the situation and
it's not as prominent or like apparent, I mean, but it does work.
Game, if you don't care as much about dying, you know, it's not going to be. But I think the whole point of suppressive fire would be that if someone does make a move towards you and you're in a strong position, make a move, you're going to be able to kill them with the saw, right? It's going to be able to, because the whole point of it would be that it would fire really quick. So if you can get it on a guy and keep it on your target for long enough, it'll kill them. But if you miss them for even a little bit, then you'll be done. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's kind of like almost like a beam rifle, like a focus rifle is how I imagine it. Just like a little bit.
Yeah, I was thinking something similar to that as well.
I can imagine a lot of the pro.
Although I hope the focus rifle.
Complain about it.
I hope the focus rifle is not back.
What?
I really do not like the focus rifle.
Focus rifle?
I hate the focus. That sucks.
I hate it. It's just
bring back the beam rifle. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was.
I actually like the bacon rifle. I quite like it. It's tasty.
The bacon rifle.
Yeah, it's tasty. No, but seriously, bacon. From a gameplay perspective, I like it. I like a big giant line to where the idiot is that you can see from halfway across the map. I like that. I also like I also like it in actually in campaign. I like having the enemies use it because it's not one shot kill in Legendary. There's a couple of seconds of oh dear crap, get the hell out of here. Rollin, you're dead, gone, bye. You know, I like that. Actually, I do like the gameplay perspective. And I hope if they're going to have a Covenant weapon in there for that sort of role, that it is the focus rival. So.
Mm-hmm. When do you guys think, or if we'll get a Covenant weaponry and then a Promethean weaponry video? You guys think we'll get that probably like within the next month or so?
I'd say probably like before PAX. You know what I mean?
I think we'll get the Covenant one. They're going to keep the Promethean one either to their chest or later on, if you know what I mean.
So, speaking of the Promethean weapons, we did actually see a glimpse of a Promethean pistol.
Yeah, the flamethrower. This shit's like this big-arse flame. Holy hell.
Yeah, so I'm almost thinking it's like a pistol just with incendiary rounds. That's how I'd imagine it. So, if it hits
To be target, fair, we... We have no idea.
We don't.
2 or 3 frames of someone who may be using it without any context. But it could be firing a projectile. We can't even see, you know what I mean? Because the frames weren't capturing it right. Or
I'm pretty sure it is firing a projectile. It just has the puff of smoke that would normally be there. It's just flames now.
Yeah, just a whole big blump of flame, yeah.
I mean, that's what all the Promethean weapons are now.
It's that Promethean energy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not actually fire. It's that, like, kind of liquidy orange.
But from that one side shot that we saw, and I'm actually going to be putting a video up tomorrow about this. But so if you want to see what's going on, check that out. But you can see there's some kind of what looks like a fireball coming out of the front of the pistol. So it sounds like that projectile is going to be pretty much kind of like that incendiary energy type stuff that we've seen with the scattershot and the light rifle anyways.
It'll be interesting to see how they work this in, like if they're going to be having, you know, the Promethean pistol, the plasma pistol on the Covenant side, and the Magnum, you know, like 3 different pistols. I'm interested to see how they work out, like, the variance between those 3 weapons and what they're going to do. I mean, obviously, plasma pistol is going to take down shields. Magnum is going to work the way that Magnum always has. So I'm interested to see how the Promethean is going to set itself apart as not just, like,
probably a balance pistol between the two.
Well, it has fire. That's one thing.
It probably has that fire kind of energy element to take out shields.
Yeah, well, I think, like, all the Promethean weapons kind of fire one of the, like, those energy orange round things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that really tells us a whole lot about, like, how it's gonna act.
Yeah, it's kind of funny because the Covenant one strips shields, the human one does the headshot. What role does the Promethean one play? You know, we have the shield stripper, we have the headshotter. Is there any room for the Promethean pistol, really?
Well, see, I like what they're doing with, like, for instance, look at the scattershot compared to the shotgun, right? I mean, the shotgun's certainly deadly, but the scattershot with the bullets bouncing around corners and stuff like that, I think that's unique enough that people might want to use it, and it's distanced enough. So even, like, something that's a little more gimpy like that would be fine.
I don't know if I'm sold on the scattershot, really. It's just, it's a shotgun with bouncy, flashy lights. That's all.
Well, I'll be interested to see how it works in combat, right? Like, if you can actually cause a significant amount of damage to someone that is, like, around a corner or down a hall, or, like, if you have a group of people, no, or, like, you got 2 or 3 guys.
I think in that case, it's going to be a shotgun in terms of distance. It wouldn't be fair to really bounce that shit around the place and cause major damage.
But, like, I mean, you know, like, for instance, if you have 2 or 3 guys down a hall, pop out, you nail one guy, but then, like, the excess shots go and hurt those other guys. Not a ton, right? But enough.
Or imagine where you run over to someone and they're standing at a wall. You shoot them point blank in the face. You kill them and the bullets bounce off the wall and smack you in the face and kill yourself.
That would be interesting. But, like, if it just took a little bit from your opponents, enough that, like, for instance, even if you were out of ammo in the scattershot or you had to reload and you could quickly fire over to your secondary weapon, like a Magnum or whatever, and take hot shots and finish them off, I think that'd be an interesting way, right? And it's all going to come down to player personal preference, right? Like, some people are going to like the scattershot just subjectively, right?
I don't know. The reason why they took out the Mauler from Halo 3 is because it was kind of redundant with a shotgun. It was the same weapon, really. Yeah. So I'm not sure the scattershot brings anything substantive to the table that the Mauler didn't do itself, if you know what I mean.
See, I like the Mauler because you could combine it with the dual Mauler, and then you could actually really kick ass. You just needed to get the dual wield going, right? The Mauler in and of itself was ineffectual, but when you got both of them, you felt great, right?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not convinced. You know, I mean, the Mauler had substantive enough differences in the same way that the scattershot does, but I'm not, because they felt the Mauler wasn't enough for the Mauler to stay. So I'm not sure if there's enough for the scattershot to even exist at this point. You know what I mean? It hasn't, to me, differentiated itself from what we know before we played the game. Obviously, you know what I mean. It deserves to be there. So I'm not convinced.
I mean, the other good thing with new Halo or Halo 4 or whatever is the fact that, I mean, it used to be that, like, you know, for instance, even in reach, right? Sometimes you'll be on a map that instead of having a sniper rifle, it'll have the focus rifle, right? And you're like, oh man, it's got the focus rifle, no sniper rifle, that sucks, right? But with Halo 4, you don't really have that issue, right? Because there are no guns on the map. You get all your guns through your loadouts and through drops, right?
There are weapons on the map.
Yeah, that's an option. Yeah. I think for Infinity Slayer, it's not on the map. And then, like, for regular Classic Slayer, there are weapons that are actually on the map.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Again, what I was more getting at is, I mean, obviously, there are weapons on the map and some things. But what I was more getting at is the fact that you will be able to choose these weapons in, like, loadouts and things like that.
Yeah.
I don't know if the scattershot and the shotgun will be available as a loadout, although it was available as a loadout in Halo Reach, right? I mean, just even though it was dictated by game type, right? So it's a question of if that's going to be available. But when you're in that kind of scenario, it makes the, like, is this weapon worthy, and like the different weapon sort of things become...
Well, I mean, based on game type, you might be able to customize, like, primary weapons fits is this class.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it could be that, like, oh, this, you know, your particular... You know, your loadout 3 or whatever is not compatible with this playlist. And so you'll be able to different types of things, right? Because, I mean, obviously, you know, for, like, custom games or whatever, you could probably have loadouts with anything, right? I mean,
you can have crazy loadouts.
Rocket launchers or whatever, right?
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, we have the sticky detonator, which we've actually got quite a bit of description of before, but... It's basically the grenade launcher replacement. You shoot it, it sticks to something, and then you pull the trigger again and blows up.
Yeah, it looks exciting. I'm excited to stick people with it because one of my favorite things in Halo is sticking people. And the only thing better than sticking people by throwing a grenade would be sticking people by shooting a grenade.
Yeah.
By the way, you could tag a vehicle with that and then wait until someone gets inside it, can you?
Yeah.
Well, yes.
People were doing that where they were like hiding the sticky, like, in ammo drops and, like, in vehicles and other things like that. I like that idea as well.
I can see right now, I'm the happiest person in the world right now. Just knowing that makes me very happy. I'm the sort of person in Halo 3 with hiding around a corner with a trip mine going, please come, vehicles, please, please, Warthog, please drive over here. Mm-hmm. And that, I love that stuff. That's so good because you always get the idiots who will never learn. You will kill them in the most stupid way 4 or 5 times in a single match. They will never learn, and I live to play with those people. And the sticky detonator just sounds like a weapon for them.
Then, like, just the classic, like, when you're getting chased by some guy because he gets a drop on you and you run around a corner and just turn around and grenade right in the corner and he walks right around right into it and you just finish him off. There's nothing better than that.
Yeah. It's like, see, I got you. I got you good.
Just did not learn.
Yeah. But no, the sticky detonator pops out that little radar screen whenever you put a grenade down somewhere.
I just want to ask, by the way, will you guys miss the grenade launcher?
I like the pro pipe.
I like the pro pipe too, yeah.
Will you miss it, but so that's the thing. Will you
miss it a little bit, yeah.
I think occasionally I'll miss it because I know that I've gotten a few things where it's like I'm in a situation where I'm like, man, I really hope this works, and I'll like shoot a grenade down a hall or down a set of stairs, and then you release the button and it says you Yeah, all right.
You gotta double kill something. And it's nice to be able to like bounce it and have it kind of bounce up somewhere. And having that control.
Yeah, because especially when you were with someone that was a real, like, grenade launcher surgeon, you know, like, even when you were playing against him, and, like, he would bounce that grenade, like, up and down and left and right and get it right at your feet and blow you up. Like, you had, like, I know that there are a couple of times that I had to sit back and just be like, wow.
Yeah, and there are people that know how to do that, and it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, that have really mastered it. Which is the same thing, like, with the focus rifle, even. People that have really mastered
it. It still pisses me off, though.
It pisses the hell out of me, but at the same time, I'm like, all right, well, you obviously know what you're doing, so I'm going to make sure that you never get that weapon again.
Because it's more to pop you out of your scope if you're zooming in.
That's the worst. Oh, yeah, like, it's just, I mean, when someone, like, the thing is, there's two sides of that coin. Like, first of all, I'm like, well, you did a really good job with the grenade launcher, with the focus rifle. Like, wow, you obviously use that weapon a lot. But then at the same time, I'm like, man, you must have played thousands of games just using the focus rifle and the grenade launcher, and I'm just like, how could you even do that? Like, that to yourself, because you know that person started off as being like not very good with it, and they had to play like tons and tons of games to get that good,
right?
And I'm just, I don't know, it's that's not the Halo that I would play, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Next on the list is the Railgun, which I think is our favorite.
Oh, Railgun, I can't wait for you.
Railgun looks awesome. Now, in the video, we actually did see it get used against a person, which it was basically an insta-kill, and then against a vehicle. And the vehicle didn't look like it took much damage, but it definitely looked like it got moved around a bit.
So it doesn't look like the plasma rifle in Reach, bouncing vehicles around the place. It doesn't look like it's going to be doing that.
The concussion rifle.
Blark, yeah, that one.
Blark ball, or Dino Blasters.
Or the Brute Shot from Halo 3. It doesn't look like it's going to have that significant sort of, oh my dear hell, stay the hell away sort of thing going for it.
It seems like the force is more of a Brute Shot.
Yeah, it looks... No, Brute Shots were hilarious. You could fire 2 or 3 rounds of Brute Shot and watch a Warthog pirouette into the air. I don't think you'd see that with the Railgun.
Yeah, like I like that it's a little bit dialed back. Like, obviously, it isn't Concussion Rifle or Brute Shot level, but it's enough that, like, I mean, that vehicle, like, that Warthog, it altered its course, right? Yeah. Like, you got hit with Railgun, and it went significantly to the right, but not enough that, again, like, because it is getting kind of ridiculous when, again, it's like 2 Brute Shots and your Warthog is doing 8 360s in the air. Like, that's much, right?
Yeah.
So I like that because, again, like, that was the, you know, with some of those weapons, when it was too powerful, like the Brute Shot, you'd never see them, you know?
It looks like the kind of weapon that if you're in a hog and you're going to try and knock someone down and they have a rail gun, they will stop you from squishing them. They'll stop you from making roadkill out of them. But it won't stop the gunner in the back from shooting the crap out of them.
Yeah.
So it doesn't seem... That seems well fair enough. It stops them, gives them breathing space, and it gives them a little bit of extra time to do something else, you know what I mean? And you just know as well that railgun that we're going to see some fantastic cross-map kills with it. Someone's going to just fire blindly across the map, and that projectile, which you won't even see, I bet you, will just obliterate someone. They'll be like, oh yeah.
The charge up on that thing just feels cool too.
Oh yeah, the sound of it is incredible. Yeah. Favorite sound from the video, hands down.
Exactly, yeah. Definitely.
It's a portable Mac cannon, essentially.
Yeah, basically.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, it's sweet. Super. It's sweet.
I think it's going to take some getting used to, like they said, but once you get it down, it's going to be so much fun. Just killing. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have any zoom, though, which is a little odd, I think. But
no, it sounds like a good way to balance it. It's a powerful one-hit kill on player.
Yeah.
Like, too much like even a medium distance, yeah, exactly. You know, it's a shorter charge, so they have DS on. And I think, no, that does what it does. I just wish they'd done that to the Spartan laser, but whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of Spartan laser, that's next on the list, and I'm hoping it's not as crappy as it is in Halo Reach, where you can shoot a vehicle with it and the vehicle doesn't necessarily blow up.
Yeah. They took out Fanning from Halo 3.
They did.
One of my favorite abuses of it. Whenever you're using it, you're fanning the crap out of it, so you are.
Yeah.
I personally don't see that as a big issue.
Yeah, I don't care that they took out Fanning because really, it makes sense.
Tell
it
that
was
to the
kind
people
of
that yeah. got killed by it. It's a good thing they took it out because tell that to the numerous extra people that it allowed me to kill with that damn weapon.
Everyone's seen those videos of like people on Constructor or wherever else, right? Where the Spartan laser and they just fan out across and you see like 14 people die. Ridiculous.
Yeah, that weapon was betrayal. Completely up.
Yeah.
One thing I do wish they had done with the laser is stop the piercing. Because that laser has a pierce. It'll go through targets. I wish they had dialed that back down as a way to balance it. Because if it hits a person and that's it. Not goes through the person's head and keeps on going through another person and another and another and another and a vehicle and another. You know what I mean?
I think that the going through the person is fine with me because people are tiny and weak, but going through a vehicle is where it should slow down. Like I'd like to see it like, you know, like maybe it goes through a Warthog and like it goes through, but it becomes significantly less powerful. And then like, if it hits one person, then that's the end of the beam. Right. But if it goes, it can go through like a ball, but then.
Yeah. There's room there to mitigate that slightly OP feel of the laser by just dialing back the piercing, just tweaking its existing properties, or even say taking out the zoom or dialing the zoom back quite a bit. But it doesn't seem like it did anything to it.
The Spartan Laser's always gone through basically everything.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, but that's the thing. People haven't liked it in the past because it's a fun killer. Hey, we're having fun Spartan Laser. No more fun. Like one Spartan Laser would take out every vehicle on the map in the Halo 3. And the team that controlled the laser, they controlled the fun. Yeah, I don't like people controlling the fun in the game that I'm playing, and that's not me. If I'm not having fun, I don't want someone else to control the fun and take my fun away.
Well, I mean, this leads back to big team battle, right? I mean, you want to talk about staying indoors and staying in your base. Think about the Spartan laser.
The laser's so bad for that, wasn't it?
Oh, dude. Remember Halo 3? It was a DLC map with all the satellite dishes. You know what I'm talking about?
Standoff.
Oh, dude. Like, all it was a race for the Spartan laser in the middle, and then whoever won it would just, like, ride around.
That map
I always went for rockets.
So that map decided within the first few minutes. I ever got that. I ruined people with a Warthog on that map because my team controlled the laser. Usually my gunner, by the way, had the laser.
Goshawk on that map, though, was sick.
No, that's heavies. That goes in kind of heavies. Yeah. Is like, no, we're not talking about heavies. That's evil. Just don't talk about it, please.
There's so many things you don't want to talk about.
Exactly. It's like we need to have a show just to talk about the things you don't want to talk about.
Yeah, we need to have that show.
You want that show? You want the BTB Heavies Jetpack and DMR show?
BTB Heavies Jetpack DMR. I'm going to make that game type. BTB Heavies Jetpack DMR. Everyone's got DMRs, jetpacks, and it's all just vehicles and craziness.
We should play it this weekend.
There you go. That'd be a good RU all night.
Oh, yeah.
So the two that we haven't touched yet are, let's see, the Magnum. Yeah, it's the Magnum.
I think it's going to be exactly this. Like, it's going to be so similar. It's not going to be Halo 1. It's not going to be quite as powerful.
It has a 2X scope on it, right?
I think so, yeah. I think that's what they said, that it was going to be able to...
The pistol, for me, didn't exist in Halo 2 and 3, and it looks like in Halo 4.
Halo 2 is a mag... was... Yeah.
The pistol didn't exist for me in Halo 2. It didn't exist for me in Halo 3. It's not going to exist for me in Halo 4 by the looks of it.
It's so weird to go back to Halo 3.
It was better in Halo Reach.
And I'm so used to now playing my Magnum and throwing away my assault rifle. And I'll play Halo 3 and I'll like keep my Magnum instinctively and like pick up some alternative to the assault rifle. And I'm like, why did I do that? This Magnum is terrible.
I did that as well. I was like, this is so crap. It's like, what the hell am I doing? Yeah. It's like, you take it out instinctively. It's just one of those things you do.
Yeah,
and you're like firing it. You're like, why are these people not dying? Yeah. Why is this not fun? Why do they have a pea shoot? Although I did go back, actually, and I did manage to get a lot of kills with it just because the teams were unbalanced. And it felt really wrong, but right, if you know what I mean, to get lots of kills with a pistol in Halo 3 after going back from Reach. Just do it. If you ever get the chance to do it and it actually works, and the teams are unbalancing your favor to the point where you can use that terrible weapon to kill, you will feel good about yourself in a really strange way.
Like the plasma pistol. And I know people that have done that before, and it's like, really? You did what?
Hey, there's people out there who use flipsick, you know?
I know someone who's basically gone positive just killing with nothing but the plasma pistol. I think it was Bravo, actually. I think he's done that before, where he's basically only used the plasma pistol and he's gone positive. And it's like, how do you do that?
I can see Bravo doing that.
It's ridiculous.
People are determined to have fun the way they want to have fun, and they will have it.
Well, then you can do that with Halo, so that's great medium to do it with.
What did I say? Halo, great.
Yeah. Last weapon on the docket is the shotgun.
Did we already talk about the shotgun?
We
talked about the scatter shot, I guess.
Yeah, we talked about the scatter shot. We didn't talk about the human shotgun.
I like the redesign. It's a funky redesign.
Yeah, it looks
takes
cool.
It takes away the iconic sort of double light majigger thing that's been on all the Halo shotguns. It's not...
Double light thing.
Yeah, it'll be double light scope thing.
The crosshair, iron sight thing.
Oh, iron sights, okay.
Yeah, it takes away that, because that's the first thing that comes to your eyes when you look at the weapons, those two dot things there, and that's not on the Halo 4 shotgun. It's like, ooh, what? But it works. I like it.
The shotgun was another one of the weapon sounds that I liked. although it still felt like it was missing some depth. But I don't know, it just seemed, because compared to the, I think it was the railgun, which seemed to be like the loudest, the rest of them just didn't seem like they had the depth behind the sound of the weapon to really be that damaging. And I don't know if that's just me or just not being able to play it yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought the shotgun sounded pretty cool. It had a good bang to it that I liked. I mean, the shotgun, I love the shotgun in Halo 3, and it was like my go-to weapon. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, they've been ramping it down ever since then, which, I mean, they said even in here, right, it's less powerful, which is fine because, I mean, it was super-duper stupid powerful and everything like that. But I also thought it was fun
regarding the shotgun is that there was leaks about the closed internal beta that they were doing with Halo 4. And there were one of the leaks from that beta was the loadouts include a shotgun. People in NeoGAF were worrying, like, oh my god, you can spawn with a shotgun. Holy shit, what are they doing? It's the worst thing ever. And they panicked about this for months and months.
Yeah.
And then and Frankie comes out the other time and says, nah, it was just a wee testing. We're not doing that. It's not going to be in any of the matchmaking modes or anything.
Right.
And people are like, oh, crap, yay! It's like, why would you assume that you can spawn with a shotgun in Halo 4? Just because they did it in a beta. A closed Microsoft employee-only beta, by the way.
Because they want all the information they can possibly get whatsoever.
I know, it's just
take
it's,
any excuse to get outraged about something.
Yeah,
I know
it's exclusives and that kind of stuff too.
That's why, like, it's just so silly to talk about like any of those leaks and stuff like that, right? Because you really don't know what is going to end up. Because it's not like, I mean, like, if you see leaked footage of, I don't know, like a film or like a movie or something like that, that's something that you can't change. But a game is so reflexive, right? Like a loadout or the ability to add a shotgun, that's like three lines of code. I mean, it's not three lines of code, but like that's something that they can change very easily in the game, right?
I know, and even different stages in the development, depending on which build you're looking at, there's so many things that are not in place, are not finalized. You know what I mean? It's like, why would you get and build your impressions off the stuff, especially if it's leaked, by the way. Pardon me. If it's leaked, it's not intended for your feckin' eyes in the first place. You're not supposed to be looking at it and jump into those conclusions.
Because it's not final. Exactly. Well, I mean, the thing that kills me is that for some reason, I don't know how people like don't realize this with the Halo franchise being like 10 plus years old, but Halo is like the most reflexive game in the entire world. You know, like, other game has a community like us that, you know, that the game's changed as much as it does over with the requests of the community. So if they put it out and shotguns are in the loadouts, even if they were, which they're not, obviously, and people were like, oh, shotguns in the loadouts aren't working out, they would just take them out.
No, just so you know, that's not that simple. Historically, matchmaking has been very slow to react to players' concerns. I know whenever Reach came out, Bungie made a very determined effort to be very reactive to the community. But even then, I'll give you a good example, by the way. You know the bubble shields in Reach? In the objective playlist, it was possible to chain bubble shields from one end of one of the maps to the other and bring the flag all the way through a big tunnel of bubble shields. And that was a big stupid thing. It was very obvious. It was on Boardwalk, by the way. And everyone knew about it, and everyone knew it was a problem, and everyone kept saying about it. And that thing gets fixed at all. Until whenever the community cartographers got it all sorted out, it was brought up to the attention, and all of a sudden gone. It was like, that should have been taken care of a long time ago.
Yeah, but, I mean, something like that, did they just take out the bubble shield?
No, they did. Yeah, they took a bubble shield out of the playlist. They just removed that from the playlist completely.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, like, obviously they're going to try and figure it out and stuff like that, but I think that they,
but
like,
they made nothing. They ignored it for a long time, and then all of a sudden gone. You know what I mean? I was like, what? Okay, then. That's brilliant. Finally, after months and months of being told this is a problem, you've finally done something about it. Well done. What about all these other ones?
Yeah, well, I mean, first of all, I think it's hard to
look. I have nothing but respect for the matchmaking team, both on Bungie, through the transition over the 343 and the guys at 343 that handle matchmaking. Like, I'm lucky enough to be part of the community cartographers, so we interact with some of the back end team, and they're really, really good people there that are really, really trying their best, particularly now with the limited resources, which are probably going into Halo 4, but they really are trying their best, and I know they have bigger plans for Halo 4, with it being their own game and getting the planning, everything done from their end by themselves will make a huge difference in terms of how they can operate and how they will be able to do things, basically. And I just wanted to point out, but from a historical perspective, even the Halo 3 days were ridiculous. There were so many problems, and Bungie was so slow. I just want to point out, just be cautious. I'm hopeful they'll be very reactive to the community, and if there's problems come up, they will say, well, don't worry about that problem. We'll take care of it, and it'll be done in a couple of days' time, whatever, if it's serious. I'm hopeful it'll be very reactive, but I'm saying, historically, there's ample evidence to suggest that they could not be as responsive and as reactive as we want them to be, and we have to keep that in mind.
I think that, like, within the Reach transition was obviously, like, Bungie was letting go of Halo. So for them to spend more time on it was probably, like, tough for them to justify and stuff like that.
Well, but the lifetime
of Halo 3. They're ready to move on, too.
Yeah, exactly.
The lifetime of Halo 3 and Halo 3's matchmaking.
Yeah, well, and again, if you talk about Halo 3, I think the thing is, think about it. Halo 3 was Bungie's second Xbox Live game, right? But I still don't think that they realized the width and breadth of changes that they would have to make. And I think making some of those changes was difficult, right? And plus, the other thing that you have to consider is that, like, not all changes are going to be black and white, and that the way that they manage their resources for making those changes might have to fall into a specific schedule. So, for instance, you know, they might gather all their intelligence and say, these are all the problems that we have to fix, but doing them piecemeal doesn't make sense. Piecing them out one by one and fixing each one doesn't make sense. But if we fix them all and then do a software update like 6 months down the road, that's the best way to do it.
But they don't do those things. That's not how matchmaking is managed in terms of that's more like patching and bug and QA, extended post-release QA and whatever else. We're just talking about the matchmaking, the managing of the matchmaking experience.
Yeah,
and right now, doing it on a month-by-month basis isn't reactive enough. I have to put that out there. It is not enough. If there's a problem and the players are unhappy, you don't wait a freaking month or 2 months or 3 months to get fixed or to react. That's not good enough.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I think it's tough, too, because I think that one man's trash is another man's treasure, and, like, one man's problem is, you know, something else that someone, you know, doesn't think is an issue. You know what I mean? Like, you know, sure, that shield example you gave is 100%. Like, that should have been something that was fixed. Who knows why it wasn't or whatever. But there are a lot of other things. Like, think back to the melee thing in Halo 3 with the title update that they fixed, you know, with the problem.
That's not matchmaking issue. But that's not a matchmaking issue. You have to be able to distinguish between problems in matchmaking and multiplayer and the actual management of matchmaking itself in terms of balancing refresh playlists to keep people occupied and, you know, be reactive to players, the shifting players' interests or problems that come up in individual maps, for example. Like, I know one thing that Frankie said in the building, he said something about the community cartographers having, like, the early access to someone's Jigger or whatever for the maps, for the file sets, for the maps to come up or whatever. I think that's a step in the right direction because they realize that they need to get the community involved from the get-go. Make sure the community is active and making sure that the maps, that basically the players are happy with the maps that they're playing on, and the problems as they come up should be addressed, because there is that pipeline there between the players and the developers and the matchmaking team. You know what I mean? It needs to be better. They're saying it's going to be better. They have the infrastructure in place to make it better. But going historically, there's just no real precedent for it right now. In Halo as it is right now. I'm just saying it's not good enough the way it's currently done.
Yeah, I don't know. And another thing that I'll say, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, like, being reactive and stuff like that. But I'll say that, first of all, I still think that Halo is very good as far as supporting their games years on. You know, Bungie and 343 and everyone are very good at least attempting to do that.
I don't know. I think they've well intended, but 3-4 map packs monthly matchmaking updates. Is that good enough for a franchise of the money Halo's generating? I've seen smaller teams, smaller games, being a lot more reactive and attentive and supportive than that. I'm talking for a franchise that brings in billions. Let's not joke around here. Billions. It's a franchise. Billions.
They can afford
a lot better support.
I mean, the way that Halo does, as far as like, if we're talking about map packs and stuff like that, for me, I would rather only get, let's say, 3 map packs of 3 maps each or whatever, if they're really great maps, like super well designed, very thought out, really beautiful and everything like that. For me, I'm going to go for quality over quantity every time, because for me, a really great map will pay for itself in replays all the time. I mean, think back to some of the best maps in Halo. I mean, whatever you're talking about, be it Blood Gulch, that was really fun, or like for me, my favorite map ever was the Pit from Halo 3. That was my favorite. Close second, so Guardian from Halo 3. And like, those maps are just super, super great and really well designed. And I'd rather have a few really great maps than like 15 just average maps that I only kind of like playing. And the only reason I enjoy is that like there's enough different maps that I like just go back to it and I'm like, yeah, this is okay. Yeah.
And you also have to think about when they're doing these DLCs, at least the first couple are done in conjunction with the game, so they're pretty much ready close after release. But then they're already working on the next project, and they're not going to spend too much time on making new maps.
Certain Affinity! Sorry, what?
Well, so Certain Affinity...
Certain Affinity is basically a branch of 343. That's the most part that they do, right?
They're working on Forge, so they can... So they've worked on all the other important aspects of Halo.
They're working on a boatload of maps, though.
So you know Certain Affinity are working on map packs. You know they're just churning them out.
So how many did we get in Halo 2? We had, like, what, 13?
I wouldn't count Halo 2 because the business model wasn't in place at the time.
Okay, Halo 3, we had 12.
Yeah, Halo 3 is better one to use as a base
point. Halo 3, we had 12. Halo Reach, we had 12. I mean, that's like twice. You've increased the map count basically twice for the game.
Yeah, and the other thing
I think that's enough.
Halo is a franchise that, unlike other franchises in the shooter genre, like the Call of Duties and the Battlefields, that doesn't come out every year or every 2 years with a game. It's every 4 years for Halo, right? So there is a longer cycle.
I guess with like how spaced out the games are for Halo, that maybe there should be an extra map pack between the last year that's it's the lifespan is going to be, and then the year leading up to the next game.
I don't know. I really do wish at this point that make Halo's levels and DLC a little bit like Rock Band. You know that? Because I'm sick and tired of having to buy remakes or whatever or crap is coming down the line. I bought a lot of the DLC. I don't want the new game to come out to the end. Where's all this DLC? That's for the other one, so you can't use it all.
It's nostalgia, though.
It is, isn't it? It's
personal preference. It's
good maps.
I mean, it's just something to deal with, though. It's not something that's necessarily.
How many Halo maps are we
bad, though?
How many Halo maps in 4 years' time, whenever Halo 5 hits, how many Halo maps will there be for the 360?
I'd say like 48.
Yeah, that's a lot. You know what I mean? Is that not a lot for one generation of maps, you know what I mean? And then they'll just chuck all those out the window and start again for Halo 5, and you'll buy half of those will be remakes, you'll be paying for the same ones again, and Halo 6 and 7, whatever.
But it's nice to go back and play the remakes on the new system.
Yeah, and sometimes remakes are good and enjoyable.
I mean, sometimes the remakes play differently just because you're dealing with a new engine.
And the thing is, if you have an issue with having to buy remakes, you have to understand that
there's going to be tons of maps that you'll never get remakes. Where's your standoff with one of the big satellite dishes? Will that ever get remade? Probably not. You know what I mean? With all those good maps, just will be thrown at the wayside and just forgotten about.
I personally think that argument's kind of pointless to make. But
I would imagine if we could utilize those 48 maps at the end of Halo 4's lifespan. Just imagine a Halo game with that much content. First of all, you know, do you see what I'm saying here? You know what I mean? You don't need to throw away all those maps. You know what I mean? It seems a wee bit of a waste. There's some of those maps that will never get remade just for them to be forgotten.
So you're saying, like, to just carry them forward?
Yeah, carry them forward in some
but capacity. But you have to redesign those.
But, I mean, yeah, like, the thing is, there's engine problems, like, there's from a software perspective, plus you have to look at the matchmaking population.
I mean, for the anniversary ones, they had to remake them from the ground up. So
I'm talking with my head up my arse, so don't talk sense at this point to me, because I'm not going to listen.
Yeah, because, like, the issue with peace is that, like, even now, think about it, like, there, like you said, there are three map packs for Halo Reach, and even now when we get together, like a Ready Up Live night, or just like me and Green when we're playing with fans from YouTube or anything like that, we get people that don't have all the maps and we can't play with them, and it sucks. So if you could buy each map individually, then you'd never get a game with that, with people that have all the maps that you want to play. So you have to think about that. Like, if the population gets too fragmented and everyone has different combinations of maps, you couldn't play matchmaking. It just wouldn't work.
That's too bad that they're not doing the whole discount thing like Bungie was trying to do with the maps. Well, yeah, they basically turned all the Halo 2 maps to be free, right?
Even with that, I think the biggest sin they committed this go-around with Reach was not putting all the maps on Anniversary. Because they didn't want to inflate the price. Stuff that. You could have made the price exactly the damn same. All those damn maps are right done. All it would cost is an extra few dollars to print an extra frickin' disc and throw it in the same damn box.
Yeah, it's more complicated than that.
Oh, shut up. I'm pretending here. I'm talking about my arse. I told you. Common sense. Stop.
We're talking podcasts. We gotta talk common sense here.
We gotta talk common sense.
Yeah, we got. No,
but seriously, the fact is that we didn't have a Reach multiplayer disc. We could have had a unified experience on Reach, where at the end of Reach, we would have been able to play and enjoy what little good there was of those maps.
We've had this discussion before on the show.
I'm just saying we missed out
about having the Reach multiplayer disc.
I think for the people that stuck with Reach, they really were shafted by not having that at the end. You know what I mean? Like, look at Halo 3. Some of the best maps came in the second part of the Mythic pack. You know what I mean? At the end of Twilight, when it's only the hardcore fans sticking on with the game, well, it's all the new people will be coming on with the next one. It's only the hardcore guys that stuck along for years, and they deserve to have the whole unified experience of all the maps. And Halo 3 was brilliant. The end of Halo 3, you had such a great selection of stuff. And you even had some wee community maps sprinkled in too. And Reach, you have this mess, you know?
I don't think it's really a mess.
Well, it is. You still have your individual map packs where one player can have one map pack and not have all those other ones. And then
That's existing on all the other games anyways.
But Halo 3 just had this wide diversity of stuff you could play. And you don't have that same diversity in Reach. You have Grey, Forge maps, up the yin-yang to make up for it, and that really doesn't do it. Well, you know, you have all those maps that Reach has and they aren't utilized because not everyone has the maps, so they can't put them in all the playlists equally. There you go. That makes sense?
Yeah, but that's a problem that you're always going to face, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's not something that's exclusive to Reach. That's not exclusive to Reach at all.
It is. No, it's not. When Halo 3's multiplayer disc came out, it took away that problem from Halo 3.
See, I don't think people bought the multiplayer disc. Because, like, for instance, on the multiplayer disc, you know what one of my favorite DLC maps ever was Orbital from Halo 3.
You're sick.
That was a great map.
Capture the flag.
That was a fun map.
On Orbital was a blast.
This is like brain cancer in word form.
It was a blast. And it's
saying things. Don't say them.
But I'll say this. As I loved Orbital. And like the guys I played with, we loved Orbital. And we thought after the disc came out and we bought ODST, we thought, oh, great, we'll see Orbital a whole lot more. But that never changed. We never saw a whole lot more.
Because not many people bought ODST because they didn't think it was a good game.
Yeah, exactly. Even though it was the best campaign.
It was the best campaign out of the whole Halo series.
Are you only trying to tell me you didn't see a significant shift to Halo 3's multiplayer after ODST came out? Because
not very significant, no.
Changed the entire playlist setup. Bungie did to require.
They changed the playlist setup, but there were still
players had the DLC at that point, so they were significantly much freer and more liberate what they could do with the playlist because the majority of people playing online had the multiplayer disc, and that was brilliant.
No,
maybe they could have done a better job.
No, I saw more of the map pack that was free, the one that included Standoff. I saw those maps a lot more because it was free. I saw the DLC ones because there was a few of them that were free, and that was the only ones that I saw a big jump in, because I mean people were downloading them. I didn't see a big play in the
at the end of Halo 3. I was playing Longshore and Citadel. Some of the best games of Halo 3 in its twilight years months was on Longshore and Citadel. Citadel's such a brilliant map. So Longshore as well, some epic. Awesome
I just
game.
Want to point out that I said this podcast would be an hour, and you've managed to drag it on for 2 hours long.
No, you did. You lying shite. Not me.
You're just gonna edit out.
You're the one that's yapping like crazy.
Okay, I'll shut up then. Silence. Silence.
Oh my.
All right. So last thing before we wrap up, because I am tired and I have to wake up in
it's 20
4
minutes
hours.
To 8 in the morning here. You can't complain shit all about.
I am also tired.
So, there's going to be a big playlist change coming for the matchmaking stuff coming down. So they're reorganizing all the playlists. There's going to be 5 main sections now, being standard, evolved, anniversary, community, and cooperative. Standard being all of the, it's vanilla reach. You have Team Slayer, SWAT, Snipers, Living Dead, Invasion. On the Evolved playlist, you have Super Slayer, Team Objective, Rumble Pit, Double Team, Big Team, Multi-Team, and Arena. Anniversary has Arena Anniversary Classic, Anniversary Firefight. Community has MLG and Griffball, and Cooperative has Co-op, Score Attack, and Firefight. So
stay in the Evolved playlist because it's the best.
Yeah. So, the... Yeah. Because the TU update, 85% bloom is the best.
Oh, yeah. Can I just say one wee thing? The whole TU debacle was poorly handled by 343. Like, I really think they intended.
I agree.
But by shafting people, saying, "Well, we're going to give some players the TU, but not all players the TU. But everyone gets the TU, but not everyone gets the effects of the TU." And then you have a million Slayer playlists. A lot of confusion, a lot of stupidity. You know what I mean? They should have said balls at TU, everyone gets it, tough shit. You know?
They should have done that, yeah.
I agree. They should have just come in and just made a sweeping change and said, listen, this is how we think Halo should be. Tough shit if you don't like it, right?
Exactly,
like,
yeah, exactly.
That's what Bungie did
that's
with Halo 3.
That's what an update is, a title update.
Yeah. I know, it's
just... Make the change, and that's it.
I don't
it.
Know what 343 was...
They smart. Wanted to please everyone, and they don't want to... Because they're new, they don't want to piss off... Any of the old time fans, because
and
I mean,
they made promises to those people. No, we'll promise
but
you.
See,
we'll
the thing
play
is the change. The changes that they were making are the changes that were in the right direction. They were.
Oh, absolutely.
They were slightly nerfing armor lock. They were slightly reducing bloom.
There's like 3 people on HBO who were very angry with the TU, and those 3 people on HBO, you can't anger them.
that's pretty much it. Like it was a little too.
It's like you being angry with a DMR.
Yeah, they obviously don't care about me and my anger. So.
But concluding the playlist thing, the ones that are being removed are Anniversary BTB. Oh, that sucks. Anniversary FFA, Firefight Doubles, Action Sack, and Squad DLC.
Oh, wait,
DLC.
Anniversary BTB is going? Where am I going to play on that big giant open green map now? That's fun.
Yeah, the Timberland remake. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Where can I play that now? Can I not play that?
You can play it in Big Team Battle if everyone has DLC.
Yeah, how about I don't play Reach? Because that's easier.
Yeah, well, I think that's why they killed Squad DLC, because no one's playing it, because people don't have all the DLC, right?
Because also, if I can't load up and play Timberlands after Timberlands after Timberlands after Timberlands over and over again, I ain't playing. Because that's a small amount of fun I can squeeze out of the game right now. If I can't have that much fun...
I'm surprised they're taking out Anniversary BTB, to be honest.
Yeah, of all the Anniversary playlists, I'm surprised that that one got the...
Because, I mean, you have Breakneck, and you have the Timberland remake. Ridgeline.
Ridgeline, yeah.
Those so two are like, really, really fun for Big Team. It's like, whenever I want to play them, I purposely go into Anniversary BTB to play them.
I know. It's fun, isn't it? Isn't it fun?
I don't know why they're taking that one away.
Whatever.
I honestly don't know why they're taking that one away.
I'm assuming that they're just hacking off the bottom, like the lowest population playlists, right?
Yeah, but I'm surprised that's low population.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of people I know that I play with that we go into Anniversary BTB quite often.
Well, they did say it was going to be painful. They said the trimming is going to be painful. I know one person in particular is very annoyed. Well, one group of people is going to be very annoyed at the removal of Firefight doubles because the rest of Firefight stuff is just stupid. and to what it's become. And the removal of doubles has really affected really serious Firefight players. I know they're pissed as well. So yeah, it looks like
it's hard to play with four people in Firefight. So you end up with, you know, the two of you and then two idiots who are also playing Firefight, or maybe at the most three.
So it looks like
I need to play Firefight with some people to get some of the combinations.
They said that the changes to Reach in the interim are going to be painful, and they are painful. Like I've stuck by Reach despite so much, you know. At this point, it feels like I've stuck by it despite itself, you know. And these changes to Reach, I don't know if I want to go back. I want to wait for Halo 4 almost at this point.
What?
I want to enjoy myself and have fun. And looking at those changes, I don't see much room for my kind of fun, my kind of Halo fun in there that much at the moment.
I mean, the trouble is, I see exactly what they're doing. They're trying to keep the overall matchmaking pool healthy, right? Like they're cutting off the diseased hand to save the arm, right?
And it's not even that as well. It's also about focusing the numbers that are playing into other playlists to make sure that there is a viable pool for something, you know what I mean?
Oh, exactly, right?
Because
everyone knows going into a playlist with, like, no population is just the worst thing in the world. You're waiting forever to match up. You play the same, like, 12 people over and over again. Yeah. And
it's all about funneling and shaping the population and making sure that everything is well-rounded. Not just chopping off the least played ones. It's all about managing. That's what they're doing now. They're doing some proper management. You know?
Yeah, and it's a tough process, especially because again, like they're, you know, it's really easy when your population is really high and all of your playlists have like 5,000 plus players in them. But when the game's 2 years old and there's not that many people playing it anymore, it gets to become tough calls, right? And I mean, you know that over there they feel bad about it. You know, it's like they don't want to piss anyone off, but
unfortunately, just someone sitting there with a Switch going, Firefight double fans, what? Deckheads.
I mean, they've come out and said they would try to keep them in there if they could. It's just that with how Xbox Live works, they can only have so many playlist entries, and I think it's like 13 or 15.
Don't even talk about the playlist entries. Like a couple of months ago, they had Billion Slayer playlists, so don't go there.
So, all right. Well, that wraps up this show, and it went a lot longer than I anticipated. But
it's your fault.
You're a bad host.
Yeah, terrible.
You let that guy from Asia talk too long. Asia? You're from Asia, right?
Oh, sorry. What's the French guy saying again?
So, that's pretty much all the UNSC weapons, or every UNSC weapon is what we got in the videos and in the bulletin, with little write-ups from Frankie, David, and Chris. I'm not sure who Chris is. Anyways, so make sure you go over and at least take a look at some of the descriptions that they have. They kind of go through and say how the weapons feel to them. And if you had the privilege to play Halo so far, then you have an idea what they feel like. If not, if you're going to PAX, you'll be able to.
Like me.
But someone in here isn't.
Try not to have fun at PAX, please.
Well, I'm going to have loads of fun.
I want you to go to PAX and just have a bad time. Just go, hate everything here.
No, I'm going to enjoy every minute of it. All right. So, thank you guys for listening in. Make sure you subscribe if you haven't. Although, if you're not subscribed, I'm not sure how you're listening to this, but subscribe to us on iTunes, Zune, the RSS feed. Also, make sure you check out our forums. We're still working on the beta forums, and we also have the Monday Night Matchmaking going on. So, we start that at 8:30 every Monday. And we start off with matchmaking, go into customs afterwards. And if you want to participate, you can just send me or Daftlink or Karts a message over Xbox Live and we will invite you. Also, if you want to send in any questions or comments about anything that we've talked here on the show or anything that's Halo related, you can send those to submissions@podtacular.com, or you can use the big green button on our homepage and submit the news that way. You can also call our listener voicemail at 206-339-6937 and leave your Halo-related message there. You can also send us a voice clip via email if you want to do it that way instead. Also, make sure you check out YouTube either the day this comes out or the day afterwards. I will have our own analysis video of the multiplayer or the UNSC weaponry video that got released with the bulletin this week. So make sure you go check that out. Comment, rate, subscribe. give me your feedback on how you think we're doing with that, what direction was you want to see with that as well, and that would be much appreciated. I want to thank Slightly Live and Minolta 1034 for coming on and braving through this two-hour show that we managed to produce.
You're welcome.
I'm sorry.
You talk too much.
It's all good.
Go back to Ireland.
It's all good.
Already in Ireland? Okay, go back to where... Oh,
the DMR is a great weapon.
You like orbital.
I use the jetpack a lot.
And you like orbital, so yeah.
Orbital was a good map, and it got a bum rap.
Don't forget, these words are being recorded. People are going to know you said that.
That's a...
I think a lot of people agree with us. I think you're the one on that has the short stick for this show. Unfortunately.
Europeans.
All right. Thank you guys for tuning in. Make sure you tune in next week where I think we're going to have a multiplayer discussion about some of the stuff that some people who have actually got to play the game have witnessed and what they feel about multiplayer. So make sure you come back next week for episode 304, and we'll have 305 probably again for the bulletin, whatever comes out next week. So until then, keep on fragging trucks.